Now, imagine you're in a big bustling city and you got to go from point A across town to point B. You hop in a car, got to stop every couple blocks for red lights. When you're actually moving, it's pretty slow because there's so much traffic. Wouldn't it be great to have a flying car and skip all of that? Well, people have been working on that idea for some years now. There have been some recent developments. For one, plans were announced earlier this year to make Florida home to 10 electric flying taxi hubs. But we might have to wait a long time for this dream to become reality. Cade Metz is a New York Times reporter with the New York Times who covers artificial intelligence, driverless cars, robotics, virtual reality, and other emerging areas. Cade, welcome to Central Time.
Glad to be here.
You looked at some of these prototypes. They're not exactly what I might envision of a flying as a flying car. What kind of things are in the works? Can you describe them for us?
You're right. They're not what you envision. I liked how you teased our conversation before the break, where you sort of had a half question mark at the end of flying car. These are called flying cars in Silicon Valley. A part of the country that's very different than the rest of it. They've been under development for about 10 years. And, you know, when they call them that, they, whether they mean to or not, these engineers and entrepreneurs invoke visions of the Jetsons and the like. And that's their ultimate dream, is to put these in the skies above urban areas and kind of take us all, you know, through the air over the traffic below. But as you point out, that dream is very far from reality. What these are at this point are prototypes of electric vehicles that can take off like a helicopter and then transition and fly like an airplane. If you could get regulatory approval for that, if you had the infrastructure that would allow these things to take off and land, they could serve like flying cars. But there are so many hurdles, those and others, to get over before we get there.
Let's take them one at a time. First of all, these prototypes, do they actually fly as intended?
So that was what I set out to do with this story that published in the Times on Sunday, is to find out who had a prototype that actually worked. There are about four of them that fly as I described, taking off vertically and then flying horizontally. The most interesting one, the most fascinating prototype, is called Blackfly, and it's built by this company called Opener, which grew out of kind of a project that was nurtured for about a decade by a guy named Marcus Ling, who's a Canadian inventor who moved to Silicon Valley. It looks like something out of a sci-fi movie. It's half helicopter, half airplane. It's got a wing on its nose and a wing on its tail, and then rotors like you'd see on a helicopter lined up along each wing. And it does take off completely vertically, and then in an instant transition to vertical flight. It's a really fascinating thing to watch.
Can you talk about the markets people are thinking of here? Are they going to be priced to where, you know, I mean, a fairly well-off person but not a billionaire could actually buy one of these for themselves personally?
Yeah, that's where things start to get iffy, and then they get more iffy as we go along. So Marcus Ling has built this really fascinating aircraft, but he does not have regulatory approval to fly this over cities. That probably won't happen for years. But what he wants to do is he wants to essentially sell it to rich people. And he's going to start doing that probably this year. He won't say how much this will cost, but the odds are it's going to cost $150,000, maybe more. He's hopeful that he can eventually get this down to what he calls the cost of an SUV. And sell it to a broader range of people, but it would still be limited to rural areas. So basically, if you had a place far from a city where you could fly this thing, you could fly it.
So there's kind of more of a toy, but I imagine if people want to really make money on this, they want it to be in service where lots of humans live, and that means cities, right?
That does. And so there's a different path to that. You've got these other companies. Kitty Hawk is one, which was also funded by the Google co-founder Larry Page, much like Opener is funded by Larry Page. And their vision is very different. They have a prototype that flies in much the same way, but it's a little more complex, more expensive. It's more suited to flight over a city, but they're going to need regulatory approval to do that. And they hope to get that in the coming years. But the other thing is that the vehicle is so expensive, they know it's not something that the average person can buy. And so what they want to do is turn it into an air taxi. They want to build a service that operates something like Uber does today on the ground, only, you know, with these flying cars, as they call them. So that's the plan. But there's another hurdle to that. There's not enough room for a pilot. At this point, there's only one seat. They want to expand to two. But in order to make this work, they want these things to fly by themselves. And that's going to take some doing to maybe technically, but more importantly, regulatory wise.
Talking to Cade Metz from the New York Times about what may be the flying vehicles of the future, electric flying taxis coming not soon to a city near you, but maybe somewhere down the road. Oh, no, Cade, okay, hang on. We've got the challenges of making these flying vehicles, getting regulatory approval, but we want them to fly themselves. And we haven't exactly figured out how to have self-driving cars safely and successfully, right? I mean, that's a double challenge.
That's exactly right. Now, there's an argument that says achieving autonomy in the air is easier than on the ground, right? You don't have to deal with all that traffic and a lot of the uncertainty that you do on the ground. And that argument does make sense. But at the same time, we're talking about flying electric vehicles. Those have never been approved for flight. First, we've got to figure out how to just get these things approved with a pilot. Then we can think about the autonomy piece. There's a lot that needs to happen. But, you know, one of the reasons people, you know, are starting to point to this type of thing as viable, one of the reasons you mentioned Florida moving in this direction, is that we now have just tons of money being invested in this. We see these huge deals, we're talking billions of dollars being pumped into these companies. And some of them, you know, with that money in hand, want to deploy these air taxi services with a pilot first. They've got prototypes that can accommodate more seats, including a pilot. So they feel like that's a first step. And that's probably what's going to happen first.
You know, there's a lot of experience flying stuff as airlines. Are they getting into this business at all?
They are. You know, United, its investment arm is investing in one of these companies that seeks to do this. This is probably, first off, a way to make it easier for you to get to and from the airport. You know, we've got, you know, helicopter landing pads and the like. And so that's probably how this is going to happen first. It's going to be more like a shuttle, but it's potentially less expensive than a helicopter, maybe safer, maybe quieter. The dream is to ultimately make this more prevalent and inexpensive than helicopters. We'll see how quickly that can happen.
Now, Cade, one concern that I have is I see how people drive in two dimensions on roads, and that's not always great. I mean, is anybody talking about a future where ordinary consumers are just hopping and they're flying whatever and bopping around town with all the concerns that raises?
Well, some people in Silicon Valley are. Marcus Ling is one, the guy behind that prototype Blackfly. Like, he's, once he gets this into the hands of these wealthy people, he feels like he can turn some heads and eventually get this, you know, into the hands of others. But, you know, that's going to take some doing. And that's in part because of that problem you talk about. You know, we have concerns already with cars and drivers here on the ground that can become, you know, even more dicey in the air. So we'll see how quickly that can happen, if ever.
And briefly, we've talked about rural areas, not a lot of competition in the skies, cities, a lot of regulatory problems. You touch on the suburbs as a possible market. In our last few moments, can you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that makes the most sense, you know, essentially providing shuttles from the suburbs to downtown or to airports. That's what a lot of these companies are talking about. And even cities, you know, we've talked to cities in California, for instance. LA is an example. They've built a not-for-profit specifically to look at this idea and build the infrastructure that's needed and think about a lot of these issues to try to alleviate at least some of the traffic on the ground.
Cade, we'll leave it there. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thanks.
Cade Metz is a reporter with the New York Times who covers artificial intelligence, driverless cars, robotics, virtual reality, and other emerging technology areas. We talked to them today about the ongoing quest to develop electric flying taxis. Probably not coming to a city near you anytime soon, but concepts gaining traction and a lot of investors are interested.